I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We like to say that first thing so that we don't take any time warming up before we start believing something's happening. The Word of God and the Spirit of God changes us from the inside out. And why have Faith School? What's the big thing about that? Well, if you read scriptures, and you should, we're told that that's how the saved, the justified, live by faith, walk by faith. It's how you receive every good thing God has given us is by faith. It's how you overcome all the problems that's in the world is by faith, and that it is impossible to please God without faith. So, yeah, faith is something you want to find out about. And there's no such thing as somebody who has too much faith. You never met anybody like that. You never will. Now, you meet a lot of people who don't have enough. And that's what the Lord would say to people as He ministered on the earth. He'd say, how is it that you don't have any faith? And he'd say, why is your faith so little? Oh, ye of little faith. And so that was a problem. And in his own hometown, says he could there do no mighty works. And he marveled because of their unbelief or their lack of faith. Now, when we're talking about faith, I want to be very clear on this point. We're not just talking about faith for faith's sake. We're talking about faith in God. That's what Jesus said, you know, in Mark 11:22. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You might say, well, why make that such a point? Well, you hear people talking about, for instance, you know, around Christmas time and that kind of thing, a lot of the little shows and everything is about believe. You have to believe, just believe. In what? In what? A lot of times what they're telling kids to believe in is made up fairy tales. Yes. Don't do that. Don't do that, because it won't be long till they find out you're lying about it. And then they're going to want to know what else you're lying about. Don't do that. Just don't do it. I don't care if it's a long tradition. If it was wrong 600 years ago, it's still wrong today. But I'm not just talking about have faith or just believe in yourself, you know. You hear people say, well, I believe in the goodness of the universe, you know. Well, you believe wrong. No. Talking about believing, having faith in God. Faith in His words. Everything He said is true and right and good. Faith in His person, who He is, what He is. He's good. He's faithful. He's merciful. He's kind. Faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about faith school, that's what we're talking about. So everybody say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Faith in God.
Faith in God.
Hallelujah. Father, all of us agree today as touching these things, asking you for the utterance, the anointing, for the quickening of your spirit from your word, opening our eyes to see it and grab hold of it and lay hold of it and rise up higher. We thank you for performing your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you look with me in the 23rd Psalm? We've been on a series here for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And again, that's faith in God for provision. But faith for provision. And what we are doing is going through a number of reasons why We're actually giving 30 scripture reasons why we're sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now that's a big statement. And a lot of people don't believe that. You got, you know, all kind of folks that believe that for some reason God causes some people to be born rich and some people to be born into abject poverty. And sometimes it, you know, God is teaching people and training them through poverty and through lack. But where did they get that? Is that scripture? Is that what God said that He wants and He does? I challenge that idea. And that's what we're saying, that we're giving one by one 30 different scripture proofs that it's not true that God sometimes wants you in lack, but that He always, did you hear that word?
Yes.
Always wants all of us to have abundant provision.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you get completely convinced of that, you're going to be hard for the enemy to cut short.
That's right.
Huh? Because most people believe some version of you can expect to go through hard times and lack and have to do without. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, yeah, you know, it wasn't until I lost everything I had that I got back to God and got close to God. Well, it's good that you got back to God, but it's not good that it took that to get you there. Right? That's just being slow. No, it's better to just love God.
Amen.
And stay with Him.
Yes.
Right? And not be a fool and have to hit rock bottom. Now, the good news is, even if you've done some stupid stuff and you do hit rock bottom, call out to God.
Amen.
He will hear.
Yes, sir.
He will answer you.
Amen.
He'll help you.
Yes.
He'll forgive you. And the good news is, He won't leave you on rock bottom. He'll help bring you up, hallelujah, back to where you were and better than where you ever were. Do you believe He's that good?
Yes.
He is. He is. So we're in the process of giving 30 scriptural reasons from the Bible, why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Psalm 23 was the first one that we got into, and that is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The very first verse, Psalm 23:1, says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm often coming behind. Huh? Why would I say that? You got a lot of church-going people, they love the 23rd Psalm. But then they'll turn around and say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't God's will for me to have much in life. Well, no, both of those can't be true. The Lord is my shepherd. Help me out.
I shall not want.
Now, that same word, want, is translated in other places in the same King James Bible, lack or need. So it's just as correct to say, I shall not need. I shall not lack. Everybody said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
Let me read some other translations of this. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Young's Literal says, Jehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack. Would it be okay to say that?
Yes.
Come on, go ahead and say it. Jehovah,
Jehovah
is my good shepherd.
Is my good shepherd.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Every month of the year.
Every month of the year.
Every year of my life.
Every year of my life.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I don't lack. I don't lack. Well, if you don't lack, what's your condition? All your needs are met.
Right,
you have everything you need. Other translations say, the Holman says, the Lord's my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. The NIRV says, the Lord's my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. The Basic English says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing. The Easy to Read says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, somebody say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I will always
have everything
I need.
I need.
Why? Why will you always have everything you need? Because the Lord is my good shepherd, my shepherd, and he's a good one. He's a good shepherd. See, David was a shepherd. He kept his father's flock, and he knew what it was to be responsible for the flock. And the shepherd's job is to protect the flock, and David did that. I mean, he went hand to hand with a lion and a bear, right? Protecting the flock. And so he knows what he's singing about here. And then the shepherd's job is to lead the flock to good pasture, and to good water, and to good shelter. And he's saying what the good shepherd is to a flock of sheep, he said, that's what the good Lord is to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, somebody say thank you. Let me just keep reading this. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in barren, dry places.
No.
No. No. No. In what?
Green
pastures. He leads me beside what? Dried up creek bed.
No.
Huh? Muddy, contaminated. No. Still waters. A good shepherd is not going to neglect his flock. He's not going to let them starve. He's not going to let them die of thirst. He's not going to let them perish out in the elements with no shelter. Is the Lord our God?
Yes.
A good shepherd.
Yes.
He's a good shepherd. Amen. And because he's a good shepherd, I always have everything I need.
Amen.
You know, he goes on to say, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup. That's a picture of abundance.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that the picture of abundance?
Yes.
When you can just, you know, fill up cups and you don't even slow down when it gets to the top. You don't care if you spill half of it over on the table and on the floor. Why? Because you have so much. It's not a problem. Right? You got plenty to fill up all the other cups and overflow them too. Huh? To us, that might seem like waste. We might think, you know, wouldn't the Lord know to the last molecule what the cup could hold without overflowing it? Wouldn't he know? Couldn't he stop it exactly at the maximum fill without any surplus? But he doesn't. I said he doesn't. He fills it and here it comes and then it flows over and it's spilling over on the table and it's running down off the leg of the table to the floor. And you go, Lord, Lord, it's running over. It's running. He says, I know. Isn't it great? Isn't he great? This reveals something to us about who he is. He is not a broke God. He is not tight on his resources. He is the God of more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. Isn't he? He's the God of abundance. That's what John 10, Jesus himself said, talking about being the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Those words are extra. It means more than enough. Is he the God of good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over? Now, where in all of that do you hear that it might be God's will for you to be broke and suffer poverty? Where is that? See, men came up with that. Men's traditional religious ideas have come up with that. And they've actually changed the good news gospel into a religious traditional message of suffering that is not the gospel, but it is widespread all over the world. It has been for generations now. How are you going to know what's right? Connect yourself to "it is written."
Amen.
Bind yourself. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
To "it is written," and every, whether it's your idea or my idea or your mom and dad's and grandpa's or this was church or that was church, do not just believe everything you hear. Do not just accept everything that anyone says. I don't care how many initials they got after their name, right? How many collars they wear. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Or how much they're on TV or... Anybody, even though they mean well, can make a mistake, can jump to a wrong conclusion. And what you want is somebody tell you, "Thus saith the Lord."
Amen.
That's what you want. Hallelujah. You can build your life on that.
Amen.
And it doesn't come any more, "Thus saith the Lord," than "it is written."
Amen.
It is written. And anything the Spirit says or says through or by any man or woman, it's going to agree 100% with "it is written." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it is written that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. He is the good God of abundance. Somebody say, "I believe it. I believe it." So that was our first point. And I want to preach it again. It's so good, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Then we went to number two, the goodness of God. And we asked the question, you know, is poverty good or bad? Is having plenty and abundance, is it good or bad? Is God a good God or is He a bad God? Not a trick question. He is a good God. The number three, we talked about the fatherhood of God, that God is a father. Well, the Bible said, you know, if you forsake your family and don't take care of your family, you've denied the faith and it's worse than an infidel. Well, does the father take care of his family? Same kind of idea as the good shepherd taking care of his flock, but he is a good father, and a good father doesn't abandon his children. Does God abandon us? He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down." So we can count on our good father watching over us and taking care of us. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what? Give us this day, right? Our daily bread. Well, what if it's not his will? What if he wants you to go hungry today? See, no exceptions, no provision for anything like that. These are the messed up ideas of religious men. But the Lord told us, ask this. Ask this with confidence, with boldness. Lord, give us today. Right? Our daily bread. And that the language there means day by day. Give us every day. Day by day, every day, give us our daily bread. And there's, you know, no hesitation of saying, "Lord, we need it. We want it. Give it to us." Hallelujah. The Lord said, He said, pray that way. Ask that way. So then number four was the creation of God. And number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. And then number eight, the blessing of tithing. The Lord told us that if we would bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove Him, He said, that He would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on us that you wouldn't have room to receive, and He would rebuke the devourer for our sake. That doesn't sound like poverty to me. Huh? I mean, you have so much pouring out of good things into your life, you don't have space. You don't have room to receive it all. And the enemy trying to steal from you and trying to cut off things in your life and limit and restrict, but God Himself rebuking the devourer on your behalf. There's nothing about being poor that agrees and is connected with being a tither. Can you see that?
Yes.
No. And so we actually spent a couple of different sessions on that, talking about that, that that's one of the reasons why we are sure that it's always God's will for us to have abundance because the blessing of the tither. Now, if you weren't with us on some of those, go online to faithschool.org, faithschool.org, and all of these previous messages and hundreds more are there available to you at no charge. Won't cost you a thing, and available in multiple languages. So if you have friends or relatives or what have you that don't speak English, that one of the languages they speak might be there. And take advantage of it, because we're building reason upon reason. And, you know, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I mean, if you just believe that God is my good shepherd, that'd be enough. Right? There's power in that word, right? That'd be enough to have faith that you'll be provided for. But to receive another reason and another reason and another scripture, it has a building effect in your spirit. And what it does, as you fill up with faith, it pushes out and displaces all questions, all doubt, all fear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know years ago I had the privilege of ministering in Brother Kenneth Hagin's healing school. And we had a person that came in and they were pronounced terminal. And they decided they'd just come camp with us and stay with us for, I think they were there 3 months, you know. And we were having services every day, Monday through Friday, twice a day. And so they were in bad, bad shape when they got there. They had been, the prognosis is that they would have been already dead and that there was no treatment. But they just kept coming and kept coming. You know, if the power of God stops the progress of the disease, you got time.
Yes,
sir. Is that right? If you're not getting worse, you got time to get better. And if it went from good to bad, you know it can change. So why can't it go from bad to good? Well, anyway, they kept coming. And so eventually we knew they had gotten a lot better. And so they left. And eventually they came back and sent a testimony. And they had been examined and were completely free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's a big difference from being dead, right? I mean, that's completely free. And said, somebody asked him, said, how did that happen that you, it was cancer. And said, how did that happen that they came back and they said, there's no more cancer anywhere in your body. And the person said, well, all I know is I got so full of the word and I got so full of faith, there was no room for the cancer. And they're right. Isn't that right? Got so full of life, it pushed out the sickness and the death. Come on, can you see that? Got so full of faith, it pushed out the fear and the doubts and the questions. Well, now see, you won't get full of faith listening to the bad reports. Mm-mm. You'll get full of fear and you'll just have more and more doubts and questions. How are you going to get full of faith, child of God? Help me out. Help me out. You got to hear something that feeds your faith, builds your faith. That's why we have faith school.
Amen.
What do we say when we start off? My spirit. So my spirit will be fed. And what else? My faith will go strong. When you feed your faith and you use your faith, it develops. It becomes stronger and greater. Jesus talked about no faith. He talked about little faith. He talked about great faith. So can you see there are levels of this, right? There's a development of this. But it won't happen by begging for faith. Faith doesn't come by begging for it. And you can't just get somebody and say, well, I'm going to find somebody that has a lot of faith and get them to pray for me and lay hands on me and impart faith to me. They can't. No one can. That is not how faith comes. Does anybody remember how faith comes around faith school here? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which is why we're going to keep doing hundreds and hundreds of faith messages to put faith into you and me. Hallelujah. So we get so full of faith, there's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for the death and disease. Oh, somebody say, thank God. This is the answer. This is how to live and not die. This is how to overcome and get out of debt instead of going under and losing everything. This is it. Faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I used to hear Brother R.W. Shambach, who'd preach under the big tent, you know, and he liked to say this. He said, "You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God." He could be onto something. What do you think? Yes. Could be on to say. What do you mean? People say, "Well, I got some problem." It ain't no problem for God, right? It's no problem to Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it again. I have faith.
I have faith.
Faith in God.
Faith in God.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Our time has already got up today, and I just got to preaching and got happy about it. But I'm glad you can come back tomorrow, right? I mean, you can come back and add to this. But let's make some confessions before we go today. Put your hands on your midsection of your body. And the Scripture said that the Lord Jesus is our high priest, and He is the apostle of our confession, of what we say. He works with our words. It's how you got born again. And so the miracle of the new birth occurred when you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So everybody said out loud, the Word of God,
the Word of God,
the living word
of the living God,
is working mightily. In me, light and life and truth and grace
and power
is working inside me,
pushing out,
displacing
all fear,
all depression,
all hopelessness,
and filling me
with
joy
and peace.
And victory,
in Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, we'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.